triumphing over them in it is not conquering. That triumphing over them was that show of them openly. It was the victory parade that once Jesus had defeated all of the principalities and powers and had gone into hell and took back the keys and then the authority that the first Adam had lost, and then he rose from the dead, he made a show. All the angels in heaven saw it. All the demons saw it. Who did not see it were people. And so because of that, the devil uses the unseen to try to intimidate and convince people that bad things come from God, and that, the devil is all this big, mighty, powerful being that you ought to be afraid of, like Hollywood tries to paint him to be, banking on that you don't get into a Word of Faith church where you're taught the Word of God, to where what your eye hath not seen nor your ear hath heard has been revealed by the Holy Ghost. And so you know that the devil is defeated. You know that. And not only is he defeated, any authority that he had, any powers that he had, has been stripped from him. And so the power that he once had, the authority that he once had, before he got kicked out of heaven, he no longer has that. The power and authority that he had that he got from Adam, the first Adam, he no longer has that. So he's stripped down, butt naked, and he's banking on that you don't know that. And he's hoping that you don't find out about that. Because if you do, you remember Pastor Elizabeth talking about the Wizard of Oz. Remember the little guy behind the curtain? Right, and once that curtain was opened up, he tried to shut it again because he had this big old, smoke and flames and all this noise, trying to act like he was all that. See, and the Bible lets us know when the final days come that we're going to look at him and say, is this the one? Is this the one that was intimidating the whole world, that deceived the whole world? But see, you and I don't have to wait for that day. We can look into the Word and see what Jesus did for us, and we can operate in that. So we discovered then that triumph is not the conquering moment. It is the victory party parade afterwards. And so understanding that is vital in understanding faith. Are you following this? So with that in mind, go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going somewheres tonight. And it says in verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. He causes us to party. He causes us to rejoice. He causes us, and see, we can't really, he really can't cause us to triumph, to throw a party parade, if we don't really realize that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. That has to be real to us before throwing the party is real to us. We're not talking about just charismania. We're not just talking about coming into church and, you know, jumping up and down and running the aisles just because we're a spirit-filled church. No, we know something. There's a reason why we're jumping. There's a reason why we're running. Remember the joy meter? Remember, there's a reason why we're operating and doing what we do. And God causes that to happen. Now, we looked Sunday at those three kingdom keys. Don't turn there. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in that order. And, you know, you're not going to really have joy and peace if you don't ever find out that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's how the scepter of his kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. To approach God, you got to approach him in righteousness, not with this undeservedness. Now, you can approach him as a sinner, crying out to him to be saved. But once that happens, he wants you to put on that robe of righteousness and know who you are in him. And when you do that and start walking in that, then you really start experiencing peace, not just a spiritual honeymoon, as they told me. That one deacon said, we know why you're so excited. It's because you just got saved, but after about 6 months, you'll be just like us. And I thought to myself, if this is what being saved is, looking at him, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Well, here it is. I'm in my fourth decade, and I'm still in the joy of my salvation, still jumping up and down my bedroom that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? So, it's imperative that you understand that you're in right standing with God and walk in that peace and consequently the joy in the Holy Ghost. Dr. Savelle said years ago, if Satan can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. And, Pastor James of the Jerusalem Church said, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we looked at that. We're just reviewing so far. And we saw then that God causes us to triumph. He sends in times of refreshing for people that have positioned themselves accordingly. And he just doesn't blow in with the Holy Ghost and just this sovereign move of God just blowing in and everyone is just happy all of a sudden. He doesn't do that. There's something that is built. There's something that is laid. There's truth that preceded that. And when truth is embraced and recognized and utilized, then it gives the Holy Ghost room to move. Are y'all following me? And so we're looking at this victory that Jesus has won. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, here we have, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, what came with it was victory. What came with accepting Jesus as your personal Savior is victory. But you didn't know that. You're still living defeated. You're still living, you know, just scraping to get by, or still had that issue with anger or whatever. But as you begin to know the truth, you found out that you had been redeemed from these things. And as you found that out, you found out that Jesus already won the victory for that lack. And he's given you and I the victory over every area of our lives. Now follow this, because we're going somewhere tonight. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, for teaching purposes, right? We just see right here in 1 Corinthians that he's given us the victory. So if you read that and insert that victory as a victory given, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, the given victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We're not talking about you just having so great a faith that you just overcome any obstacle. No, it's the victory that you discover in the Word that your faith is built on. It's more than you just listening to sermon after sermon after sermon and building up your faith. It's discovering that the faith that you're building up is you've been given the victory in that physical condition, in that financial condition. You've already been given the victory. And that is the victory that overcomes the world. That victory has already been given to you, and you're discovering that it has already been won. He gives us the victory. And this is the victory. It's the given victory. Again, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. And that's so important, because when you've been given something, it's yours. You have it. You're not trying to get it. You have it. And so he gives us the victory. And in giving us the victory, when we really begin to understand that the victory that we've been given is over all the enemy, over all situations in the world, sometimes your soul can get overwhelmed, because you think, how could that be? I mean, you know, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be some things that, you know, just going to happen. Well, does the Bible say right there that the victory that overcomes most things? No, overcomes all things. I like what Brother Copeland says. He said, it don't make no difference what season the world is going through. It makes no difference what the economy is. Makes no difference what epidemic is going on. Excuse me. Faith people, it doesn't change them. They're not moved by the economy. They're not moved by some epidemic. They're not moved by some war breaking out. They're not moved by that. Why? It's the same victory that overcomes the world. Now see, all things are possible to them that believe. And you and I have to believe that what Jesus did was not just enough. It was more than enough. Come on now. For any situation, for any family member, for any kind of disease, any kind of sickness, any kind of financial opposition, anything that you and I would ever encounter, he has already given us the victory, and the devil don't want you and I to know that. He wants us fighting in our own strength. He wants us, toiling. He wants us just straining in everything we do. See, when I first got born again, I didn't know nothing about righteousness. Now, praise God, Dad Tilton was teaching faith, and Mama Alberta and I grabbed a hold of it, but we were trying to operate in faith without knowing our righteousness. And we had some success. We saw miracles out there at the farm. You've heard of a bunch of them. But, you know, it would be years later before we would discover our new creation reality. Even though that had happened, even though we'd been delivered from drugs and alcohol, even though God had put our marriage together and called us into the ministry, we still did not know righteousness, peace, and joy. Are you following? And because we didn't know that, it hindered our faith. So much so that my faith was based on if I got up on time for 3 o'clock in the morning prayer. Are you following? Right? And so on and so forth. Now, certainly, you know, I want to arrive on my assignment. I was up at 2 this morning. Till what, 4:30, 5 o'clock. But if I'd slept all the way through, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You understand that? I might have just missed what God was wanting to say to me during that time. See? And understanding then that this is the victory that overcomes the world, it's a victory that has been given to us. And we have to step into that given victory by faith. I have to, by faith, you have to, by faith, believe that God has given the victory over that pain, over that lack, over that situation, whatever it may be, right? That's where faith comes in. Faith comes in believing that what Jesus did has taken care of your situation already. See? And when you step over into that, you're stepping over into peace. You're stepping over into joy. You're stepping over into triumph. You just stepped out of your paycheck. You just stepped out of your workability. Thank God for those things, but you just stepped out of that. See? And you're moving beyond that. You're moving beyond what you can do through your smarts and your work of your hands and so on and so forth. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And we want God to bless our employment and so on and so forth. But when you recognize that's more your assignment than it is your financial source, you're going to wake up and understand that God's got you in that place more than just blessing you and your family. That's a divine assignment for however long, and the people you'll meet there are just not coming and co-workers that just come and go, or clients or whatever it may be. There's more to it than that. And when you approach that as your mission field, instead of, you know, this is what God is blessing, He'll bless, but get your soul beyond that. Get it beyond that, because why are you sowing? Just cut everything back then. Just be a tither and stop right there. Just stop right there, and he'll bless your work, and just, you want to live there, live there. I got to preach to 4D people. I ain't got time to mess with you. If you want to stay there, you stay there. But you're just wasting your seed. That's why I just cut it all off. Don't give another dime to anything other than your tithe, because you're just kidding yourself, because you're in lockdown. See, we're talking about overcoming the world. We're talking about 100-fold. We're talking about just multiplication, increase beyond our wildest dreams. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that worked real hard. No, we were like them that dream. And I'm thankful that you are gainfully employed. If that's is that right? And I'm thankful for that, right? But if I just preach in here, everybody get a good job, that's not scripture. That's not the word of God. And so I got to come in here with the Word of God, and hopefully it makes you mad to where you finally will dive down into the Scripture and see for yourself that this is the victory that overcomes the world. You've been given victory. Now, let's go into this. Hallelujah. Got any millionaires in here? Okay. I can see I made some of you mad, but that's all right. Sometimes you got to get mad before you're going to break out of that place. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians and go to Isaiah. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, and look at this. Well, let's begin at let's just go right to it. Verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off some of the earth. Most of the earth. Just the United States earth. From all the earth. For the Lord, not Pastor Philip, for the Lord has spoken it. Now, right there, the prophet Isaiah says this prophetically. He said, and he's talking about the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, that should come. He will swallow up death in victory. That's future. When he prophesied that, it's future. It hadn't taken place. Follow this now. He will, and if you allow it, in the future, swallow up death. Interesting word, swallow. When you swallow something, you don't see it no more. Right? And when you do see it, it'll be in a different form. Come on. Are you following this? You know, little Petey, I tell you what, he runs all over the house, and he'll come chewing something because he got a hold of the toilet paper roll, or he got a hold of a paper towel, and he ain't chopping, and we're trying to catch him, and he's running away, and by the time you get him, he done swallowed it. Some things that he swallowed, you saw it later on. Hallelujah. Right? Right? We're talking about death being swallowed up. Folks, there is no higher level of ending on this planet than death. And death, certainly physical death, right? But spiritual death, you and I were dead in our trespasses and sin. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they died spiritually. In the day that you eat of that tree, you shall die, right? But they lived almost another 1,000 years later, right? But they died spiritually. But yet the prophet Isaiah said there's a day coming and you're going to know this is the Messiah because he's going to swallow up death. And how? He just ain't going to swallow it up. He's going to make a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's going to swallow up death in victory. Victory over death. Are you with me? Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians. This is the fulfillment of this. Right? Look what it says here in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is not going to be. This is then shall be brought to pass. Amen. Then it shall be filled. That saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, understand this, that you and I have already passed from death unto life. If something, you know, in your life and you're ready to leave this planet for whatever reason, you know, there is no such thing as soul sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? And the Bible lets us know, John lets us know that we've passed from death unto life. Even when we die, if Jesus should tarry, even when we die, it's a glorious moment. It's not this, oh. I mean, I'll run you all out of my room at 105 when I'm ready to leave here if you're in there with old poker face, because I'm about to experience my greatest moment. Hallelujah. All your loved ones that have gone on before, even if they went in kicking and screaming, even if they gave their life to the Lord right at the last moment, even if they didn't understand what you understand, they are in glory. And that same death, Jesus paid the price, come on now, and swallowed death up in victory. Now follow this, because we're going somewheres with this. See, we're going somewheres with what victory really is. Because he's given us the victory. And this is the victory that death, no matter what you're facing, no matter what it is, death is swallowed up. You can apply that to your physical life. You can apply that to your marriage. You can apply that to your finances. You can apply that to your car. You can apply that to your children. Whatever. That's why Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead. And he's pre-cross. That's why he's the father of our faith. He didn't have what you and I have, right? Are you following this? But he considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? Well, then why are we going to consider that bill? Why are we going to consider that crazy noise in the engine? Why are we going to, come on, whatever it may be that's trying to raise its ugly head, we have already been given victory in it. Doesn't mean you're not going to have things that are going to try to oppose that. Be sober. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he what? May what? Wrong word. Swallow. Same Greek word as death is swallowed up in victory. The Young's literal translation, put that up on the screen. He goes on and translates it that way. Be sober, vigilant, because your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, doth walk about, seeking whom he may swallow up. Well, he's already been swallowed up. Come on. But if you don't know that, then he's banking on you to just go by your five physical senses. That you're just going to be this sense-driven Christian, that all you do is go by your sight, by your ears, how you feel, what it looks like, what it seems like, what your emotions are saying. Come on now. We walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Right? So the enemy is trying to swallow up that which he's been swallowed up in. It's the, you talk about the father of lies. He's trying to put on you what has been put on him. Somebody follow this. He ain't got no victory. The only victory he has is what you and I give him. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather make him give to those which need. See? See? Hallelujah. I want you to see this. Because we are moving into territory where we're possessing ground. We're not talking about just holding ground. We're marching forward. We're going in and possessing. Are you following what I'm saying? Anybody with me tonight? Right? And so the enemy is trying to figure out who he can swallow up. So what's he do? He puts out doctrines of devils. And Christians that don't know any better swallow it down. And all of a sudden the devil's bigger than their God. You don't know what I've been through, all that. See? Are you following this? And so you and I need to understand that the victory that we have has been given. Amen. Okay. 2 Samuel. David, the king, made some mistakes in his life. A lot of times we just want to talk about him killing Goliath. Right? But he had some situations where I don't know if it was because he didn't actually do it that he got an attitude. You remember when Saul and Jonathan, I mean, Saul's trying to kill him. And they die in battle. Remember that? And they brought the news to David. And instead of throwing a party, rejoicing, he kills the guy that brings the message. Should have had a party right there. Now that guy that you've been running from and been trying to kill you has finally run into the judgment of what he's been sowing, right? Should be throwing a party, but he wasn't. Here in 2 Samuel 19, remember Absalom? Remember Absalom? I mean, Absalom, my goodness, you talking about betrayal. His own son is trying to take the kingdom from him. And, you know, he's telling everybody, if I was king, you know, I'd be doing this for you. You know, David up there, you know, and all that. And he's betraying them and trying to raise up his own, you know, army himself and so on and so forth. And, you know, the guys around David said, we ain't putting up with this. We know who the king is, right? And so they engage in battle, and Absalom is on his mule, I guess it was, and went under a tree, and his hair was so long. Remember that? He gets caught in the tree, and all of a sudden he's hanging there, and one of David's mighty men come and take darts and had a dart game and annihilated that problem that David had. Now, David should have been rejoicing about, hey, that season's over with, but he's not. Look at this over in 2 Samuel 19. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse 1. And it was told Joab, behold, the king, King David, weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. The victory was turned into mourning. How many of you know God's turned our mourning into dancing? Right there, instead of throwing a party, right? Instead of throwing a party, the victory, hey, you know, he should have got up in front of the people and said, I understand he was my son, but he coming against what God wanted to do. I tried to reach him. I extended my hand to him, and he still went in that direction, and that is done. It's finished. Throw a party. He didn't. The victory was turned into mourning. That is most of the mainstream churches. The victory that Jesus won for us has been turned into this mourning. You know, you've heard me say it before if you've been with me any amount of time. Sunday morning Christians, they're mourning the whole time they're there on Sunday. See? And so victory for us is a celebration. He causes us to triumph. Now, I want you to see this because victory is sweet. Remember that? Victory is sweet. And whatever you're facing tonight, God has already given you the victory in it. You have added your faith to that victory which is already given, and you've sown seed with it, or vowed a vow, or sealed it, or whatever, you know, to even put some miracle grow on it, if you will, right? Right? And so this is the victory, that given victory, that overcomes the world, and it's all wrapped up in our faith. We used to sing that song in the Methodist Church. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. And every one of us getting our butt kicked all week long. We didn't have a clue. Now, whoever wrote that song did. You can go back and whoever wrote that thing had a revelation. But the devil got, decades later, people to swallow down that victory is going to be over there. Now, watch this. Going over there going to be good. But that ain't where the victory was. The reason you going over there is the victory that happened here. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. You feel that shoot through there right there? My goodness. Hallelujah. So the victory was turned into mourning. See? Now, are you with me so far? All right. Let's go over here to 1 Samuel 14. No. Let's go beyond that. Thank you, Lord. Go to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. Get ready, get ready, get ready. The devil tries to play with your head. And the more you try to figure out how he's going to do it, the more he's playing with your head. The more you try to figure out how he's going to do it, the more he's playing with your head. Let me say it again. The more you try to figure out how he's going to do it, the devil playing with your head. God's already got it figured out. Remember when I preached you're not going to know how? Remember that? Might want to get that out. Listen to it again. Especially when your figure is trying to figure. Put that in the Durber Dictionary. Right? Right? He's banking on you're captured in 3D. He doesn't want you understanding the fourth dimension. He doesn't want you to understand that you've been delivered into the kingdom of his dear son. That you are actually there now. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not see the kingdom of God when he dies. You already died when you were born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That old man died, and that new man, the old man got swallowed up, and the victory was given to you to where now you're born again. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! See? And when you and I walk in that, by faith, and it's a fight. It's a fight to keep casting down 3D, to keep casting down the lies of the enemy, to keep focused on what God has said. Come on now. Without a vision, people die. All that's left is death. And so the enemy tries to mess with your vision. He tries to get you to look at 3D and 3D only. This is what the lawyer said. This is what the doctor said. We don't deny what the lawyer said and what the doctor said. We just take the victory that we've been given. Hello? And we overcome the result of what they said is going to come to pass. It's called a miracle. It's called a supernatural move of God. Hallelujah! Are you in Psalms 116? Okay. Look at this. I love the Lord, verse 1. Anybody love the Lord? I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. In other words, because he answers me. Because he leads me and guides me. He's not this God that's afar off that you're just trying to, you know, oh, right? You have a personal relationship with Jesus. Watch this now. The sorrows of death compassed me, surrounded me. It looked like it was over. And again, don't just look at physical death. Anything that it looks like it's over. I mean, when we first came in this building years ago, and we're 3 months behind on the mortgage, it looked like it was over. I mean, it looked like this thing's going down, and you're going to get run out of town, big faith man, blah, blah, blah. You know the rest of the story, how God showed up. But it was fighting from a place of victory, not for. Folks, if you get this, instead of just nodding at me, if you get this down inside you, that you're not fighting for the victory, you're fighting from the victory. It's rigged. It's rigged. You have a no-lose situation. Hey! The sorrows of death surrounded me. And the pains of hell. The pains of hell. God, hold upon me. I found trouble in sorrow. Next verse. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. It looked like it was over. It looked like I was surrounded. It looked like the pain increased. It looked like the debt increased. It looked like it wasn't working out like I knew it was supposed to work out like God had promised. But I called upon the name of the Lord. I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. Watch this. Deliver my what? Deliver my what? That's the battleground. Man, it can seem like, here comes oppression, depression, they holding hands. Fiery darts from every side. Went to the mailbox and wish you hadn't gone. Got a phone call. You better know something. Because 3D is hollering at you. 3D is trying to take you down. 3D is trying to shipwreck your faith. 3D is trying to keep you from the manifestation. Because when you manifest, you got that big mouth like I do, and you're going to tell everybody, I got to go on and get happy tonight. Whether you do or not, glory be to God. Huh. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Now watch verse 7. Return unto thy rest, oh, my soul. Okay, wait a minute. That means the soul was at rest. and all this other mess that's surrounding my soul is trying to throw me off. This morning I was praying. And I told the Lord, like I do 90 plus times I pray, because I'm praying in the Spirit. I said, Lord, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. My spirit's praying, and I ask you for the interpretation. Give me the understanding of what I'm praying. And just as soon as I said that, relax. That's what I was praying. I said, okay. Now I was waiting for more. Didn't get more. So when I don't get more, I go dig. Because he's wanting me to search something out. Now you know what a laxative is. Does anybody not know what a laxative is? Bethany, you can explain that to her later. Let's just say it this way. It loosens everything up and gets it moving. When you and I relax, it loosens everything up and gets everything moving in the right direction. Whatsoever's loose, Brandy, on earth is loosed in heaven. And so when he said relax, I said, whoa, okay. Because I wasn't tense. I wasn't in this anxious state. I wasn't stressing over something. He's bringing a revelation to us, to prepare us. Remember, through the preaching of the word, that's where the manifestation comes in due season. He's getting you in a relaxed place. Now watch this. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, the word relax means to relieve from nervous tension. To relieve from nervous tension. Now, watch this. The devil tries to get on your nerves. And he'll use people. He'll use situations. He'll use your spouse. He'll use your children. He'll use a coworker. He'll use your boss. He'll use an employee. He'll trying to get on your nerves. Do y'all understand getting on your nerves? Have you ever experienced something getting on your nerves for a prolonged period of time? Couldn't even sleep. Come on now. What's going on? The devil's swallowing. He's swallowing up your victory that Jesus already swallowed him. But he's trying to get on your nerves to swallow you up, even though he's defeated. Folks, you better see this, because the devil ain't all that. Hallelujah. So I got looking up this relax. Look at it in the ERV translation. ERV media. My soul, relax. The Lord's caring for me. Come on now. Some of you need to hear this tonight. Speak to your soul. Relax. Calm down. It ain't all that. Look what it says in the ICB. The ICB. I said to myself. I said to myself. Pastor Ed. I said to myself. Self. Relax. How many of you know you got to speak to yourself? All right. Got a pain in your knee. Do you just try to think it away? No, you speak to your knee. Well, when your soul is trying to get all crazy, come on, when the enemy's coming in, you got to speak. Hey, soul, whoa! Ah! Relax. Loosen up. The Lord's got this. I've sown my seed. I've confessed it in. I believed I've received. I vowed my vow. So relax. Hey. Huh. Look at the EXB. I said to myself, relax, return my soul, life to your rest. Because the Lord takes care of you, He treats you well. Can I just say it in modern terms? Quit freaking out! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Should I stop? Look at the voice translation. Oh, my soul, return and relax. Come to your true rest. Remember labor to enter into that rest? Come to your true rest, for the Eternal has showered you with His favor. Look at the message, the MSG. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. So, you've been rescued from death. You've been rescued from tears, and you foot were kept from stumbling. Relax! Look at the Living Bible, the TLB. Now, I can relax. For the Lord has done this wonderful miracle for me. Well, I'll relax when He has done this wonderful. You're missing it. He already has done this wonderful miracle for you. This is where mainstream Christianity can't live. They think you're delusional. But you have your miracle, a wonderful miracle. And if you really believe you received it, I said, if you really believe that you received it, if you really are convinced that is your house, if you're really convinced, come on now, that is your vehicle, that is whatever, whatever, if you're really convinced that is your healing in your body. If you're really convinced of it, then relax. Relaxing is not shunning your responsibility of faith. You still put the corresponding action to it, but you're resting in the victory. Watch this now. You still here? Look at this. Verse 7 again, King James. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's right here. I believed, therefore have I spoken. That is where we get that. That is where 2 Corinthians 4:13 comes from. The spirit of the faith believes, therefore have I spoken. That is where it comes from. Where your soul is going through all kinds of mess, but we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed when my soul was going through a mess, I told my soul, you better relax, because I have believed that I have received, and because I have believed it, I'm speaking out the victory. No weapon formed against me can stop my faith. This is a victory that overcomes the world, and I've been given that victory personally by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Yes. You kidding me? A defeated devil. Come on now. That is where we live. And now, in Psalms 116, you see all that's going through somebody's soul. But it gets to, no. I believe, therefore I speak. And the Apostle Paul takes that and says, that's the spirit of faith. That's what we do. Relax. Your word tonight, relax. It's headed your way. It's headed your way. All you got to do is stay in the victory lane. All you got to stay in the victory lane. It's already swallowed up. It's already swallowed up. Don't let the devil swallow up your manifestation. He's already been swallowed up. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? Hallelujah. One word from God can change your life forever. Pastor Philip, praying this morning, give me the interpretation, one word, relax. Did it minister to anybody in here besides me? You tell your soul so? Relax. You need to give an envelope tonight, hold your hand up, ushers will wait on you. I'm going home and relaxing. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Look at your neighbor and tell them to relax. Father, thank you for your word. And we purpose within ourselves not to let the devil get on our nerves with any kind of situation. He's defeated. Death has been swallowed up. You've given us the victory, and you're causing us to triumph. I thank you, Lord, that these your people do not draw back. They march forward. Bless both gift and giver now in Jesus' name, in a hundredfold accelerated fashion. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Bring it happy.